I am Feel It.
And I am Fix It. And we talk about life.
And stuff and things.
With the occasional rant.
Which you will have no problem doing.
Fix It, and welcome to our first official episode.
Well, sure.
I don't count the bio. That's not really an episode. That's just me rambling.
And I say afternoon because it is afternoon when this is being recorded. For whenever you're listening to it, it could be good morning, good evening, you know, whatever.
Oh, so close to quoting a movie right there. Okay.
Because that would be abnormal.
No, that would be perfectly normal for me. The beginning of this episode, titling this episode, Generational Healing.
Okay.
And like a lot of my rants, they get spurred on by something I read, something I see, videos, things popping up in my feed. And this one is one of those. I don't know the rest of her work. I don't know if any of the rest of it would resonate with me the way that this little section does, but this does, and so I figured I would share, and then we could talk about it and just see where it takes us.
It sounds like a deep title, and I have read, you are the creative mastermind, but I have read what you wanted to discuss, and I know this could go lots of ways.
Oh, and so it probably will.
I'll follow your lead.
But, so, this is a excerpt from a book of poetry, if I understand this correctly, written by Rose Brick. Her book is titled My Father's Eyes, My Mother's Rage, which does kind of make me want to read more of it. But this little excerpt, if I had only one wish, it would be that I am worthy enough for my children. That despite all my mistakes, they will always feel loved and safe. They will look back on me fondly. My memory will be a source of love and peace. If I had only one wish, it would be that my children never have to heal from me. And like I said, that resonated with me.
And me as well. Me as well, probably for different reasons. We talked about that a little bit.
Sure. And then we decided to stop talking about it because we should record this and share. So we did. But that was actually kind of... That was the idea behind, part of the idea behind starting the podcast, was these conversations that we have, and not just with each other, but I have conversations like this with other people too, but that definitely struck with me. And my family background is kind of messed up, in many ways.
That's kind.
Sure, I mean. It's like, I can only go back to my grandfather because that's as far as my memory goes, but yeah, he was not great to his kids. He was worse to his wife. And he was even worse to his brother. And then I came along. But, for some reason he changed. I don't know.
I've heard that story many times. Yes. He was very different to you than any other grandchild.
Yes. But.
And you were not the oldest grandchild by any means, so.
No. I was the illegitimate child of his youngest daughter.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah.
His teenage,
whatever that was.
His teenage youngest daughter.
Yeah.
Something clicked.
Whatever
so my understanding is different, but...
Your memories are different.
Yeah. My memories are very different of the man than everybody else's. And having met your grandfather, who hated me with a passion...
Yes, my paternal grandfather.
Yes, hated me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
He hated everyone.
He kind of did.
I had some hateful grandparents, but
yeah,
he was special.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'll give you that.
That was special.
Yep. He was. But that wasn't exactly my point.
Nope.
We
both understand generational issues.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. Health issues, not necessarily health issues, but more mental issues.
Mm-hmm. Some I've very, very recently worked through.
Yeah. Well, and...
still am.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think people are ever truly done healing.
No.
It's... I mean, yes. That
your perception changes.
Your perception changes, and you grow. And sometimes you outgrow the need for the healing. But not usually.
See, that's a whole other episode.
That's a whole other episode. And we'll probably never get to that one because we'll have like 50 other things pop up between that. But
in regard to this poem.
Yes. I mean, that has always been... It's like, I knew I wasn't normal. For whatever that's worth. Not normal in good ways, not normal in bad ways. But I also knew my responses to things were questionable at times. Still am. My first instinct is always wrong. I've accepted that and learned that. Which is why I'm always, when I respond, I pause. Think of what, you know, let whatever natural response comes to mind. And I don't do that, and I do the next thing that comes to mind. Because I let the rational mind go, yeah, that's a dumb idea. Don't do that. You'll go to jail.
And I just, you know, sort of jokingly, sort of not over the years of, you know, just blamed a lot on your dad. Because it was easy. Because I know nothing of him. And he has not been in your life. So.
Yeah, ever.
Very, very.
Met him once.
Very little contact. And
yes.
You're kind enough to provide some health information to us years ago when we asked. I asked for that.
Yep. Which was cool. But.
But yes, there's been zero relationship, zero understanding and conversation. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing there. So you did not have.
No.
Your biological father's influence in your life.
No, I did not. For better or worse. I don't know which. I've met my half-siblings, so I'm going to guess I'm better off not.
But.
Again,
the point entirely.
Not entirely the point. But I had... You either deal with the trauma, or at least the trauma responses, or if you don't deal with them, you pass them on to your kids. In their own flavor, I guess. Because they get the response without the stimulus. So the response is different. Because it's a learned behavior. Okay, I'm going to...
So you got all psyche. I knew it was going to happen.
This is
going to happen.
Okay, it's not a joke. It's a joke, but it's not funny. Never thought it was funny, but it's a good example. And I think you've heard this one before. But I don't know if anybody else has heard that before, so I'm going to share. So a young lady gets married. They're newlyweds. And for the first time... since they've been married, she's cooking a ham. And she takes out the ham, and she cuts the ends off it, and puts it in the pan, and puts it in the oven. And the new husband is like, okay, why do you cut the ends off the ham? And she's like, you know, I don't know. That's just the way that my mom always did it. Okay. So the next time that they're visiting her parents... she's like, Mom, you know when you make a ham, you cut the ends off? Why do we cut the ends off? She's like, you know, I don't know. It's just what my mom always did. So she makes a trip over to her grandma's. Okay, Grandma, I gotta ask you a question. When you make a ham, you always cut the end off of it. Why do you cut the ends off of it? It's like, oh, it's simple. My pan was too short. We pass on that kind of stuff, and whether it's a short fuse, a bad temper, heck, prejudices and preferences and all of that baloney. If you don't deal with it, you pass along things to your kids that you don't mean to pass along.
See, that analogy only made it to two generations, because goshy, there's certainly more than that going on
for a lot of people. Well, it's like, yeah. Well, in my family, we can go back far enough. We got axe murderers, so.
That's so true.
Yeah, I'm not kidding that one.
She's in a branch in the tree. Let's throw that out there now.
Yep.
She did it.
Yeah, Lizzie did it. Just saying.
I'll tell you a secret.
She did it. I've met the family. I have no doubt in my mind. Yep, did
enough
it.
Enough years going to that anyway. Borden family reunion. But we digress.
Anyway, that's a rabbit trail.
Yes, your analogy, yes, that is...
No, it
spot on for what it is.
No, and it expresses itself differently, but, and then of course, you have the things that your parents taught you or the things that you learned from your parents. Like, those are two different things. There's what they actively teach, and then there's what you learn by being there.
That's true.
But they also go through their own stuff in life. And if they don't deal with it properly, then that adds more stuff that can get carried on to the next generation if you don't deal with it. And there was a lot of stuff that wasn't dealt with in my history, in my family history specifically. Just in, I mean, teenage mom with her own, you know, there's mental health issues all over through my family. Just rampant mental health issues. To the extent that some of them have been spent time committed to the state hospital.
Back when those were a thing in Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my mom wasn't that bad, but she's got her own things going. And then so does my stepdad. And Lord only knows what my biological dad added into the mix, because, you know, that's that.
I try not to think a lot about it.
I'm not worrying about it. Let's just put it that way.
Not really.
I'm not worrying about it.
Not really.
Because I'm aware enough now to pick up on stuff. But, you know, my particular cocktail of messed upness, it has allowed me to be...
Can you pull that poem up again?
Oh, sure.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Your particular messed up enough of this?
Has given me the freedom to be observant of my own behavior. And then we got married. And we combined our jacked upness.
Whoa.
Hey, nuh-uh. Nope. I know your family. I knew them all. And I married you anyway.
You should have done a more thorough check.
Oh, no, I met him.
You should have, like, a book ready.
Oh, my gosh.
We're
going
to have a book ready for our future sons. But I might have a questionnaire checklist.
Yeah. That was... Anyway.
And here's your disclaimer.
Yeah, guess what you're entering into?
You want in on this?
Yeah,
I think it's just only fair.
It's only fair. But
yes, then we came together.
Then we came together, and then we had kids. And at that point, okay, child. We only had one at a time.
Mm-hmm. But we had married a few years.
We had married a few years. We had...
About 5, 6.
Yeah. About 5 or 6, which I might add is a really good amount of time to wait before you have kids. Establish your relationship and figure some stuff out before you put a screaming little need monster in the mix. Mm. Just put that
just
out there.
Put it out there.
Don't start with the kids and then try and build a relationship. It's going to fail almost every time. Just put that out there, in my humble opinion, in my not so humble opinion, however that goes. But we had not dealt with... Okay, I know I had not properly dealt with a lot of the things that...
Oh, no, I never denied that.
Yeah.
I had not. I didn't recognize it.
I'm not... yeah, but
I did, but I was still young.
Well, we can... We can talk about that, but I'm not pointing fingers.
We'd been through some things, but then we hadn't been through enough things, and then enough things married.
Yes. And then we hadn't... Heck, we're still working out stuff.
Always.
A quarter of a century later.
What?
27 years this year? Yeah, 27 years in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The heck?
I was young.
Yeah. I was younger. But, I'll tell you what, if you're paying attention, a child will highlight every flaw you have if you let them.
Not always a bad thing.
I can tell you it's not a bad thing if you're mature enough to learn from it. I know a lot of people that weren't and aren't and haven't. Unfortunately. Now, I've relayed a story to the girls about a bad day I had that really made me just completely just lost it because my daughter was crying. Which she did a lot.
Our oldest.
Yeah. She did a lot.
Yes.
When she was little.
She had an array of physical things when she was a baby.
And I was frustrated and tired and annoyed. And I was just absolutely full of rage. And I came to my senses like an inch away from a screaming baby's face. And I was like, what in the world am I doing? What the heck is this? She's in pain. That's why she's crying. She's not, and I can honestly say I was never more ashamed of myself than I was in that moment. And it's been a long journey since then. And like I said, I'm not done. I'm still chipping away at the ugly spots. But in that second, I realized there were things I needed to deal with, so I didn't give them to her. And that poem kind of summed up a lot of that really quickly. It's like, it kind of set some of my goals for my life, and I think we've attained some of them pretty well.
I'd like to think so.
You know, have we been perfect?
No. I never claimed that, nor will I ever.
I have not been perfect. And we've come up short, and we've failed, and maybe we didn't deal with things the way that were exactly right for the individual involved, but, you know, we tried.
We knew better, we did better.
Yes.
We were consistent with that.
And we continue to do so.
Yes.
But I think we have, in a lot of ways, you know, as far as them feeling safe, that was always something that always warmed my heart. You know, because if I was mad at them for doing something wrong, they were scared because they did something wrong. But they weren't scared of me. They were scared of being in trouble. And even when they were in trouble, if they were scared of something, something frightened them, if something hurt them, if they were whatever, they still ran to me. Which means I think I hit a pretty decent balance. And we've had other people's children come to our house so that they could feel safe and unload and decompress. And sometimes just be quiet and silent and just have some place where they could be quiet and silent.
Yep.
Or loud and obnoxious and eat a bunch of Doritos and drink Mountain Dew. There's that too. But I think we've done that pretty well. But I don't know. I'm not sure where I want to go from here. See, because there's the opposite. There's the opposite of that, though. I mean, that poem is like, I want to be the good parent. That kind of sums it up. I want to be the person that my kids need me to be. If you come at that from the other way around, you end up with a kid full of trauma. And that's, I'm the adult and I want my kids to be the kids that I want them to be.
Yes.
That's, and you end up with the exact opposite problem.
Hard door to go through sometimes, but
oh yes. Well, trying to shoehorn. See, I can't change my girls are my girls. They have their nature. They have the genetic soup of both of our messed up families mixing together in a brand spanking new way.
I'd like to think that our brand of parenting and introduction of faith did help that, you know, be different.
Yes.
As well as getting them mental health when it was necessary.
Yes. And the support that they need. And
all the things we're still doing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I don't foresee that ever. You know, just because they're growing up doesn't mean that they're not going to get our support. You know, because they're my kids. So I don't care how old they get, they're always going to be my babies.
Let's have our real moment here. Our youngest is about ready to be 18.
About a week.
So you're having some feelings about that.
Yes, I'm having a lot of feelings about that, which is probably why that poem resonated.
We, you know, have our 20-year-old that does have autism. She's higher functioning, but she still does need levels of support, and she will, and we're still maneuvering those things. And I don't know, we don't know what that's going to look like, but we're doing what we can day to day. She's doing well.
Yes.
You know, has her part-time job and is doing well at her stage. And then our nearly 18-year-old is a different person. At the other end of the child-rearing spectrum was raising her. I'm trying to be delicate here.
She's trying.
You know, and she has her issues, and she's doing very well working through them.
Yes.
But it's hitting you harder and more, how about differently? Of the fact that she'll be 18. It's not like an empty nest thing.
No.
That's not where we are.
No.
And we're not like tossing them out
nope.
at like a certain stage. Like, that's, you know, like...
Yeah, no.
You know.
Nope, I'm good with
but
where we're at.
It's right an now. Age thing. Because, you know, we're at the end of actually parenting and the maneuver yes. into support, but knowing that we're still affecting them. You know,
I think in a lot of ways we've kind of maneuvered past parenting in most respects.
Yeah, that's just a normal
and moved into stage. Mentoring.
Yes.
You know,
that is appropriate.
Exactly. And I'm not saying, you know, otherwise. I think if there's any fear that I still have is, did I do it well enough? I don't have I've never had a problem telling either of them. It's like, you know what? I goofed up. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Let's figure this out. I've never had a problem with that. Yeah, I think they understand the sincerity. We have young individuals in the periphery of our family going through a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Each one of them.
All of them. Yes.
Yep.
And I can see so many different ways that it went sideways for those other families.
It's easy to do. Easy when you're on the other side.
In a lot of ways, it's easy when you're in there.
It's true.
As long as you're not... Again, you need to become the parent your child needs. No amount of control... You don't have the level of control to turn your child into something that they're not, so they can be the perfect child for you. God created that little girl, you know, our little girls, before we met them, with the potential of being who they are going to be. And our job as parents is to help them realize that potential.
As best we can, in our power.
Yes.
With our choices.
I heard a speaker, and I have no idea who this guy's name is. I can vaguely picture his face. And he said, it's like, your kids are the culmination of the genetics of your entire family line in a completely new and unique way. And if you think that there's anything that you can do to turn them into something that they are not built to be, you're wrong. Their nature cannot be overcome. You can never make a sheep into a goat. Doesn't matter how many goats you want, doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't make a sheep into a goat. But that doesn't mean that the shepherd's not important. The shepherd determines where they are, where they live, the environment that they live in. The shepherd can encourage growth in certain ways and curtail negative growth in certain ways. But you're still a shepherd,
but
you're not making the sheep.
To take this back to your original comparison of the ham, you have to know that it's not necessarily correct to begin with.
Yes.
Or adverse, or, you know, whatever delicate word you want to put in there, even though sometimes it's not always delicate.
Oh, yeah. But
you do the best with what you have until you know it's not right, and then that's another level of accountability.
Oh, sure. Yes.
But... To your point, I mean, I get it. It's, yes, and I agree. There's a shepherding to it.
Yeah, well, we're caretakers of our kids, not their owners. We're not their boss. We're their caretaker. Our job is to, I told the girls since they were little, my job is not to be their friend. My job is to be their father. And as a father, my job is to help you develop into fully functioning, capable, healthy adults.
That was the goal. Yes. I mean, I think we're pretty close. Though our youngest is like all about just living in our basement forever. That's fine.
That's okay. She can contribute.
As long as you get a job.
You start making some money and contribute because, man, those art supplies are expensive.
So.
And those crazy. I mean, she takes some showers.
Soon enough. So,
you know, you gotta throw the water bill. There, you know?
Yeah, jeez. We've talked about the water bill.
Yes. Yeah.
For as much as that affected you, the end of it, when I talked about healing, could you repeat that line for me? You got your phone right next to you.
Okay, sure.
Please, the last stanza.
If I had only one wish, it would be that my children never have to heal from me.
And that is the end of it. That is the end of that poem.
That's where that...
So yes. My concern was different. I know you spoke of like the mental health value of it. And did we do well enough to know that they could be functioning human beings? They could be decent functioning human beings, right? And then from my point of view, now after 12 years of chronic illness and knowing the ebb and flow of how that's been for me and what our children have had to experience, and then sitting with them in therapy, listening to them talk about how hard it had been, or even right up to before the last few years, which have been particularly interesting, their cognizance was there. Like, no matter how old they were aware that this is literally like all our youngest knows. This is all she remembers. And then our oldest isn't far off from that, but all they've known is mom not well to some degree, and understanding that that took its toll. Mm-hmm. So even for all of the experiences they've had with that, if that wasn't enough, right? It's the concern that they won't be able to process grief and loss and pain and disappointment and all of those things well, and how it affect their faith. I've had major concerns as a parent, and we've talked about it over the years. And then I had to come to a point, about a year ago. It's like, there's no denying, there's no sugarcoating. It was just, you got to be real that life is awful and full of disappointment and things, and we don't always have answers. But the conversations that we were having with them, as we knew my issues were getting worse quickly, we would have an attitude of gratitude together as a family. And that probably sounded very strange even in the moment, but just to try to teach them. I wasn't trying to backtrack. I wasn't trying to detract. I wasn't trying to not validate how they were feeling, but it was the best I could do to help them reframe it. Like, no, we're just going to continue to be thankful for what we have and who we are. And we are a family still going through this together, and it's okay to tell me you're angry. And I'm not even going to try to hide and lie. Does it mean it has to be in their face all the time? And it's not. I mean, you know this. It's not that we sit in it every day together.
No.
But when they have their moments, and they were going to have their moments, there was some rough stuff coming, it was okay to say that.
Yes.
And they took that well, and they have been taking that well, and things are managed, and things are stable, and things are okay. Right?
Sure.
Well, we had to go through that.
Yes.
And while we were going through that then, they were watching other friends, loved ones of theirs, go through some stuff. So I think that helped soften some of that, like that God-given something else that could be there, so that they didn't just have to have this issue with mom in their face. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so if you want to find a silver lining, I found it and I clung to it myself. But that's been my concern, my greatest concern in it. It will be, it will always be, is of what they had to experience with me. How did that maybe cause the maladaption and things that could have been better?
Sure.
And not to mention the loss of my parents and loved ones and, you know, uncles and mm-hmm. aunts and people that meant something to them along the way while they already weren't able to process well what was happening to me.
Sure.
It's very hard to promote the idea of healing when everyone around them is so not well. But
yes. Yeah.
Those were my concerns. Mental health from a different angle.
Yes. Well, and I've been right there with them, you know. I think that's the part where, you know, like in the poem, make sure they feel safe. Even when they're uncomfortable talking about stuff. Because sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yes, so they've done our best to promote. It doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable. We get it, but you'll not become little imploders.
No. Well, I mean.
No.
Not as much as we can help it. As much as we're able, we'll continue to be the little we'll push the vent valve and keep you from popping. But the
path of least resistance, people. No. You will have hard conversations.
No, but I think we've done well in making sure they know they're safe to do so.
Yes. You're not punished for how you feel.
No. Well, and they're not they're not denigrated for it. And I think a good chunk of that is the fact that we've always had the conversations with them when they were small. They always had the right. Like, I always gave them permission to ask questions respectfully. If you disagree, you can ask respectfully. If you got something to tell me, you can tell me respectfully. And I can't say I've always, but I've always tried to give them the freedom and the support to do so. I'm sure I dropped the ball on that one. I guarantee I've dropped the ball on that one.
But I don't think we ever came at it from this place that we're perfect.
No. No. In fact, I've told him that off and on for years. I can tell you, your dad's not perfect. I think one of the smarter things I did when they were still small, like, you know, like 5 and 3, give or take, I was having a bad day. I had a lot of bad days. And I just looked at him. It's like, you know what? You haven't done anything wrong. I'm in a really bad mood, and I don't want you to receive any of that. So how about you go take your stuff and go play in your room for a little while and give me an opportunity to just chill out. And just, okay. And they pick up their stuff and they went into their room. But they could, I mean, they're kids. They
didn't nap long, by the way, either one of them. That was
no, they were not nappers.
And yes, we did homeschool, but like, no, they weren't nappers.
No, but it was.
No. But, and you worked third shift, and yes. And I did work part-time, and we did try to function and
but I think it
go
was,
through life that way, and it was hard on you. I know there were days.
Well, at that point, let's see. We'd lost our house.
That's a story.
We were living in a crap hole trailer.
That's a story too.
That we fixed up. That the inside of that trailer was way nicer.
It was immaculate. Nobody knew from the because the outside was trash. The inside was gutted and gorgeous and.
I don't know if I go that far,
but it was very nice.
It was a surprise for people when they came in, but
you know, it's hard to find a job when you're 8 months pregnant and you've lost your job. It's hard to find a new job when you're 8 months pregnant. So and then you go through the savings pretty fast. So there's a whole story behind all of that.
All kinds of stuff.
So yes, all we did ultimately lose our home, unfortunately. And this was 2007.
Yes.
So this was quite some time
ago. We were at the beginning of the bubble.
Yes.
We were just before where everybody else considered the front edge, where there was some help and assistance. It was just before that. Anyway,
that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story we're probably not going to get into anytime soon. But there was there was a lot of there was a lot of stuff wearing on me, and it did not take long for me to just be done. And my job at the time, I was stressed all the time. All the time.
You were not the same person you are today.
No, I got laid off, and it was a relief. It was bad. It was not a great time in my in our life.
It was not.
But I had my girl. I had my little squishies. If you saw pictures, their cheeks were ridiculous.
And they were happy and didn't know any better.
Yep.
And relatively healthy. I mean, even for what she went through, it got better.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, you know, she had a lot of digestive things and issues, and
we got the fear.
That was rough.
Took a while to get some of that stuff figured out.
Screamed her head off for 8 months of her life. But colicky.
But being open with them when they're small. Having conversations with them when they were small. There was, you don't feed steak to a baby, but you can still answer that kid's question. As long as it's done respectfully. You know, it's like you have to set boundaries, but I think that there's, like I said, there's the flip side of that palm, where instead of raising your kid, you know, becoming the parent your kid needs, creating that safe, whatever, you try and turn your kid into the kid that you think you need. We helped our kids understand the rules. It's not just this is what you have to do because I said so. It's like, hey, this is what you need to do because...
I mean, I played that card once in a great while, but for the most part, it was not because I said so.
There's a time...
I was raised with that and I hated it.
Yeah, there's a time and place.
It was not the whole...
It was like, we'll get into the details later. But if they don't... I think that's one of the reasons that so many kids go to college and get stupid.
We're going to go down there too.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like the same thing that causes that kids, you know, it's like, I don't want my kids to have to heal from me. It's like, well, your kid's turning into little crazed hormone machines at college, I think is kind of the result of the same thing that causes the need for the healing as an adult. It's like, you tried to control something, not teach them to control themselves. You dictated rather than taught. You tried to control what you were supposed to guide. You try to push them to become who you want them to be instead of guiding them along the path to become who they should be.
You consistently hear the, because I want them to be better than I was or do better mm-hmm. than I was or... something to that extent, well, and that's sure that's innate as a parent. You want course. Better, but well, generation. There's some generational things there too.
Yeah, but if your child is hardwired to be a musician, they're going to make a lousy engineer.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're finding that.
And if you push that kid to be an engineer, they might become a really good engineer, but they're not hardwired for it, and they'll never find that fulfillment in their life.
It's not using what they are good at. You're right. Yeah, it gets lost. It gets lost because then people... It becomes distorted in their expectations.
Oh, yeah.
And the way that they were raised. And
well, when I see these people, it's like...
down the chain it goes.
See commercials. Three generations of lawyers. It's like, you know what?
Good for you.
That's awesome. And I'm not saying anything bad about that. It's like, that's great, but... are they hardwired to be lawyers, or did you push them into becoming lawyers? Because you might have had, that person might have been the greatest surgeon that ever walked the earth, but instead they're practicing law. How much of it that was guidance, and how much of that was control? You know.
Sure.
And
what you're naturally good at.
That's a question, not a...
But that's where... I've had this conversation recently. I don't recall who it was with, but my own family, not very large at all. My mother did come from a larger family, but very, very disassociated with one another and scattered. And there is no relationship. Again, I think there's some generational curse in there. That's like way more of a episode to have. But in terms of education and where I am, and if you just look at my specific family unit, my parents both barely graduated high school. They had very blue collar jobs. My father, many.
I'm surprised your dad didn't get kicked out of high school.
At least once. He was drafted, yep. You know, right out of high school as well. So he had to do that stint. But lots of blue collar jobs mm-hmm. through their lives. And I don't have much relationship with my siblings. There's a story to all of that too, but I doubt highly. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know for certain, but I doubt highly either one of them have master's degrees and are seeking any profession, at least not last I had heard. And there is something to that for me, but I've been chasing this a long time.
Sure. Well, and
the conversation was what my parents would have to say about it.
Yes.
And I fell back on something that you had said to me a few months ago when I was having a hard time. And
I say a lot of things. I'm not sure.
I know, right?
You'll have to be more specific.
Well, I just had my last major surgery, which was the early December. So this would probably have been Christmas time. And I only had so long to recover. And I knew I was going to have to get back into it and to finish my internship. And it's not that I couldn't. And it was like I was pushing and rushing myself. I was just having a rough day. And the holidays are always hard when I think about my mom. I mean, she's been gone almost 9 years, but that doesn't mean I don't miss her. And my kids have lots of memories and things. And it happened to just come up one day. Like, I wondered what, and this wasn't long after I had this conversation. I believe I know who it was with now. It was a close friend. And what my parents would say to know that I was becoming a licensed counselor. And you had said to me that it would never have happened. If my parents were alive today, it wouldn't have happened. And that's true. I do believe that's true. Because there was so much wrapped up in being their daughter and what they needed and they expected. And I did that until their deaths. Mm-hmm. And that's was part of my identity. But that was wrong. And that was the generational thing that I needed to have freedom from and heal. And it that did take their deaths for that to happen. And that's very deep and, again, could take a whole nother episode.
It could definitely be or 10. Episode.
But that's it's true, though. Mm-hmm. Like that you when you're in the middle of it, you don't realize when something is wrong.
And
you know, those are your parents.
Well, yeah. Well, and in as much as I kind of sounds like I'm getting down on people, it's, when you're in the middle of it, it's what you know. It's kind of hard to fault people for that. But I think most people have opportunities to where their eyes get opened a little bit. And they have the opportunity to make a choice. To, you know, they can see. Okay. They used to put mirrors behind the customer service desk at stores. Because it stopped people from berating the people that work in customer service. Because they're forced to look at themselves while they're interacting with them. Because people...
I did not know this.
Yes. So if you ever go to a store and you see a mirror behind there, that's to keep people from being...
Interesting.
Too belligerent. Because they're forced to look at themselves while they're doing it.
Okay.
I think most people have the opportunity to see a glimpse of themselves. Kind of like that mirror. Then the question becomes, now what are you going to do?
There does have to be some ownership at some point, yes. No matter how old your child is,
yes.
There does have to be some ownership. If they're coming to you with feelings or thoughts or concerns about, which I'd gone to my own parents with feelings and thoughts and concerns about the way we were raised. It didn't get very far.
No.
But I at least did have the bravery to do that. Mm-hmm. And but they weren't able to admit fault, specifically my father.
Yes.
That was just not who he was.
And I get, to an extent, I think most people can say, or at least want to be able to say, they tried their best. They did their best.
And that's most often true. Best for what they know.
Exactly. But, again... You have that glimpse, and that's where it's like, okay, I had that glimpse of, holy crap. And I realized I needed to change. It's like, I can keep going down this path. This is going to be bad. This is going to end poorly for everybody.
It would have. You were not okay.
I was not okay.
For a long time.
But I think everybody... Especially anybody that's got that kind of control, where they have that moment, even if it's for a split second, where they kind of see, it's like, man, really? Is this who I am? As a parent? As a dad? As a husband? As a friend? As an employee? We have those opportunities to, wow, well, I'm just having a bad day. No, you know what? You just lost your, you just missed the opportunity for growth. It's like, it's in those little moments of failure that you have the opportunity to see where you could have done better or where you need to get better. And admittedly, hearing the stories of my grandfather from all of my aunts and uncles, I learned who I didn't want to be as a dad. Not necessarily specifics, but growing, you know, when I was little, it's like I've always kind of wanted kids. I still love kids, especially little tiny squishy ones. But I just remember hearing them talk about my grandfather, and nobody had anything good to say. They avoided him. The only reason they came around was because of my grandmother. The tired little woman that she was. And I learned at a very young age I wasn't going to be that guy. And for a little bit of a moment, I saw myself as that guy. And then I made a choice. I didn't know exactly what I needed to do at that point, other than I knew that wasn't it. Took a long time to get there. As much as information as I had crammed in my head, it took a long time to figure out how to use it for myself. And it took others, too, to help point me in the right direction or give me better perspective. But
it's hard to have perspective when you're in the middle of
it. Oh, it is. It is. Sometimes you need that mirror.
It's kind of the, you know.
Sometimes you need that mirror.
Profession I've chosen.
yeah.
And again, I had said this was not going to necessarily be like a real psychological platform or anything like that. I know this got, it
yeah,
got there.
Yeah,
I'm
going to be taking it down that road a lot because that's the kind of stuff I'm dealing with people.
I know. Well, that's just how you think. That's just who you are. And
sure.
And I'm okay with that, but this is also not necessarily going to be like an advice oriented platform.
No.
That's not where we're going with it.
No, it's not about advice. It's about ideas.
And I'm saying it's not as if somebody couldn't read it online or
sure.
hear it in any other format than when I talk about it. So,
yeah, I learned about myself, and actually coworkers learned about me, that I'm a great translator.
Yeah, that's how we used to refer to you.
I have a huge repository of information in my head. I think I may have mentioned it, but I've hung out with people who were, you know, basically homeless to neurosurgeons, lawyers, doctors, engineers, bartenders, waiters, busboys, cooks.
Sure. I mean, we've had a myriad
builders.
Of personal and professional relationships with our church and our life and associations.
Mechanics. And all that fun stuff. And been in close relationship with them in some cases. And well, at work, we had an individual who was a chemical engineer, had a master's in chemical engineering, and he was running parts at a factory because he couldn't get a job. And his biggest detriment was he couldn't dial it down to be able to communicate effectively. And the people that he was working with, technically working for, finished high school. And he is this guy that has a master's degree with a doctorate level knowledge of his field. And an individual that graduated high school and learned how to do the job that they're doing. And they couldn't communicate effectively, so I was in the middle and translating what he was saying so that they'd understand, and then translating what they were saying so he'd understand so that we could get our job done. And I fit into that role almost everywhere I go, give or take. And I forget where I was going with that.
Sorry. I was keeping up with you. But here, I'll take it and say that we did refer to you as the translator with our oldest daughter, because there were so many times that I could not make myself clear.
Sure.
The way that she processed and thought, spoke, all of it. It was a struggle. It was very, very hard on me when she was younger. And until we could really get answers and appropriate services and understanding. And I wasn't educated then.
Not as educated.
I had a lot of, unfortunately, there were a lot of professionals, a few teachers and doctors that had basically just said that we were imagining things, right?
Yep.
Nope. That was not true.
Nope.
But okay.
No. I live with her. We're not imagining that.
We did not get a diagnosis right away. So there was just a lot of struggle there. But you were that translator, right? Because you did think that way. And you could process that.
I have the ability to think that way.
In that process, you'd even come to the point where you realized you likely had autism. Like, you were on the spectrum.
Oh, yes. No argument.
I'll never forget the day that it hit me. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. Just that runway of lights went off. Like, holy crap. Because you were just quirky. You're always quirky.
Yes.
And I've loved you anyway, and I've never thought a ton of it. You'd mentioned the ADHD well before. It was a big thing. Yep. I got you on that. Sure. Right along with that. Didn't question it, because it wasn't a thing in our marriage. And even as parents, it wasn't. It was something you were actively learning to hone and do something with. It wasn't like an excuse. Once you realized it was an issue, you became more intentional about fixing it.
Yes.
Well, because that was something you could fix it.
Yes.
That was something that you were in control of changing, and that you chose to do
yes.
that. There was a lot of rough before that.
Oh, yeah.
But you came around.
There was a lot of rough. There was a lot of rough externally. There was a lot of rough internally. There was a lot of stuff environmentally and maritally and relationally and all kinds of rough, all kinds of stuff going on. And in the midst of that, I learned I needed to do better. But
you did. And you have. And
I would like to think so.
Our children know that.
And
they don't really remember, and they couldn't have processed the bad for what it was, because they were too young to really get it. Now, if you'd stayed on that path, this would be...
It'd be a very different conversation. Very different conversation.
But you didn't.
But, and again, keep going back to the poem. I want to be the person that they don't need to heal from. I think that is a goal that everybody thinks they have, and very few people seem to.
Yeah.
See, actually, there was a thought I had earlier, which, again, is something I heard and I've reiterated before. When you said you talked to your parents about the issues and they just kind of,
I did.
And, well, the thing I thought of is, like, telling somebody, it's like, when you did these things, this hurt me, this traumatized me, this scarred me. And they're like, well, I don't remember that. It's like, of course you don't remember that. For me, it was one of the most traumatic things that could have happened in my life. And for you, it was Tuesday.
I wish I would have worded it that way.
I really, really hope. And I have tried to become the person that doesn't have any Tuesdays. And it's one of those, I hope I got it right. I know I came up short somewhere. I know it. I think part of it's because people think I'm cynical. I'm not really cynical. I just understand that bad things happen, and it's part of the equation, and I account for it. So I point out the bad, not be or the potential bad. Not because I'm expecting it, it's because I need to be prepared for it.
And I would say that whatever level either one of us have screwed up, I'm the one that's more detrimental. I'm the one that's caused more scarring. How about not me, what I've had to experience, and then what they had to experience with me.
Well, that's why
I've tried to reframe that. It wasn't because of me. It was with me.
Yes. Well, and
I've been more intentional in that.
And I think the other part of that isn't just raising them in a way that they don't need to heal from. I think it goes further into raising them up so they're capable of healing in the first place.
Recognizing that there is something, yes. That, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, I think that's almost, you know, we as parents, we talk about making sure our kids are strong enough to handle life as it comes.
It's a great sentiment.
It's a great sentiment, but sometimes they also need to learn how to be flexible enough to survive.
And sometimes kids are just sensitive.
And then
they're just different people.
Oh, yes.
Than we want them to be.
And then I think there's a third part of that, though. It's like they need to be resilient enough to be able to heal from it.
Also true. But that takes a patience and an intentionality to create the environment where that's possible.
Yeah.
You have to recognize it first. And that's, we're not in that, that's not where culture is, right?
No.
That's a, I want it easy.
I think you keep swinging around in
want it easy.
All the wrong ways.
Right?
But,
and again, we could talk about that forever.
Sure, we could.
But I, and I can appreciate that you have your feelings. That's one of the reasons why we did this poem, right? And it's good for you to be able to process it and talk about it because other people do need to hear it. Because I would guarantee that there are other people that think it and feel it and don't always get to talk about how to fix it.
Yep.
Well, and but that's this where you and I, we are on the same page on it, right? I don't even just say that we're on the same page, maybe different ends of the paragraph, but it's how we've chosen to discuss it and reframe it. And our children are older.
Yes.
You know, they're old enough to, even our 20-year-old can understand.
Yes.
She can understand. And but that also took intentionality in how we educated her.
Mm-hmm.
As best we could. And then there's a point where you're just not educating them anymore because they will have their own perceptions and opinions and...
Which is what, ideally what you want.
Yeah.
You give them
the goal.
We teach them to think. But I think personally, I want them to understand why they feel the way that they do or think the way that they do. I'm a very big proponent of, oh, that's your opinion? Why? Explain it to me so that I can better understand. And if you can explain it to me, then why is that your opinion? Or why do you feel that way?
I would like to think, if nothing else, we both instilled in them respect for feelings and thoughts, even if they didn't agree or understand.
Sure.
Because I know you think that way, and they both think that way
sometimes,
to their own degree. I think that way, but...
To their own way. It,
hopefully they think... Nowhere near your level.
No.
Like, nowhere near your
level.
Well,
they're going to be at their level, and that's what's important.
Oh, me so, at and, your level. I'm comparing to you.
Yeah. And, you know, and I said in our intro that I think that everything can be fixed, just whether or not someone is willing to pay the price to fix it. And it's a person's got to pay the price. It's got to determine whether it's worth the value. See, I don't think you can't fix your kids.
Well, yeah.
You can't fix your
definition.
Kids.
Definition. Not everything is fixed.
No, but you can fix yourself. You can
fix yourself.
And become the parent that they need so they don't have to be fixed.
You have to process the feelings in order to know what to fix.
Well, sometimes you just got to realize, you know, you're broken too. I think all too often we blame the kids for being bad when the kids are actually they're good kids responding to bad parenting. And that's another conversation for a different day.
Yes. We should probably wind this one
down.
Yeah,
we should probably wind it down.
I know, it's a heavier one.
It is.
Had to come out the gate like that.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in letting people know what they're in for. Like, this is, well, it's our first actual episode, so this could be the norm. This could be the outlier. I have no idea. We're still figuring this out.
I'd like to find some laughs in all of them, though, no matter what.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, this one is definitely kind of a heavier one. But
authentic as well. Authentic, yeah. And humorous and all the things.
We'll try. We will try.
And we didn't point out that we're twinsies today. We got to represent. You know, I'm still a Michigander.
Yes. Yep. Percent. Yeah, we're wearing our matching Detroit Lions shirts.
Sweatshirts.
Yes, no, sweatshirts. Sorry, hoodies.
Hoodies.
We're wearing our Lions hoodies.
Specific.
Yes.
With the hoodies.
Be very specific.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's like, gotta represent. Football season may be over, but yeah, for those of you that
NFL.
Were fans this season.
NFL may be over.
Yeah. Just because you were a Lions fan this season does not mean you get to hang in the bleachers with those of us that have been fans for decades.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's like, yeah, you know what? You can join.
Why are we doing this?
You can join in the tailgate parties and all that. That's awesome. That's great. Buy the merch. Get the stuff. But you know what?
We've been watching the
We watched them suck for years. Decades.
Is that another generational curse thing? Or not even curse, I should say. Like generational healing there? Because, you know.
Yeah. I was still owned by Ford, so I think that's going to be her.
Wow.
Yeah, just saying.
Just doing things.
Yeah, the Ford
just
family.
Just saying stuff.
Yeah, just saying. Anyway.
What is happening?
The only consistent thing they've had through all of their years of suckage. Just saying.
What on earth? We need to shut this down. Shutting you down.
Oh, I guess. That's fine.
Went from saying we were twinsies and that just went places. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So, I'm Fix It.
I'm Feel It.
We hope you join us in the future.
Until next week.
Have a great one.